The Global Traveler Podcast is brought to you by TimeForYourVacation.com, your exclusive door to your next amazing vacation. Tired of not knowing what to do on your time off or how to spend your vacation? The fine people at TimeForYourVacation.com are there to walk you through any and all problems that you may have. Don't waste your time navigating the internet trying to find places to go and people to see. From cruises to resorts or European trips and more, go to TimeForYourVacation.com. That's TimeForYourVacation.com. TimeForYourVacation.com. Thank you for joining us for the Global Traveler Podcast. Did you know there is a free digital Global Traveler magazine you can subscribe to? Just go to GlobalTravelerMag.com. That's GlobalTravelerMag.com, and you can read our latest issue 100% free of charge. While you are there, drop us a line and we will remind you once a new issue is dropped and send you a link. It's so simple. Oh, did I mention it's free? That's GlobalTravelerMag.com. GlobalTravelerMag.com. With Willie Nelson. You remember Willie Nelson. Oh, he's still with us. Still making music. Hey! Welcome to the Global Traveler Podcast. Wow, it's been a while since we've actually had one of these. My wife was turning to me the other day and goes, have you done another podcast? I'm like, oh, crud. No, I haven't. I haven't been able to. Life has just sort of gotten in the way. Yeah, the plan is to do this twice a month, one around the 1st, one around the 15th. As I record this, it's the 17th, and we haven't had one since our original one. So, what does that mean? That means I got to play catch-up. Sorry about that to everyone. I want to thank all of our followers. I want to thank all of our listeners. I want to thank everybody who smashed that follow button. I want to thank everybody who listens to us. We have had a tremendous outpour of people messaging us and telling us how much they enjoy the podcast. So thank you. Thank you very much. A lot of you have asked questions, which we asked you to do. So what we're going to do in this episode is we're actually going to listen and respond to some viewer mail or listener mail. Viewer listener mail. That's great. We're not going to do any news this week or this episode. Again, a lot on my plate. I do these tours in Las Vegas. My wife comes with me. So the first full week of the month, we go to Las Vegas and we give these tours for anywhere between 9 to 13 people. And, you know, we're in a party bus and we're doing all this stuff. And, you know, it is work, but it's a lot of fun. So at the end of May, I promised my wife for our anniversary that we're going to go to Las Vegas, just the two of us, and do all the stuff that we've never gotten around to doing. Because the thing about Vegas is it changes every week or so. There's so much in Vegas that just changes. No matter what you do, it just changes. You blink and it changes. You know, the Tropicana just seemed like it was open just yesterday. Well, they've already started tearing it down. So there's just a lot to do that we just haven't gotten around to doing. So I'm looking forward to that. Not just that, but also just some alone time for my wife and I. It's our 21st anniversary coming up in May. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I'm just planning the heck out of it. And it's going to be a tremendous amount of fun. We've already got our airline tickets. We've already got our hotel reservations and tickets to shows and whatnot. So looking forward to it. Enjoying ourselves and having fun. And so go ahead and sit back and relax. And after this commercial, we'll be right back. You spend your life sitting there trying to figure out how to spend your time off. Yeah, we've all been there. Did you know you can get a personal tour of Las Vegas or Disneyland, or even Portland, Oregon? Seriously. This is Dave from DaveTheTourGuide.com, and I spend 1 week a month in Las Vegas and Los Angeles giving tours of these fantastic places. While in Vegas, you will walk in the footsteps of the Mafia and the Rat Pack while you stay in a hotel casino on Fremont Street. You will visit an amazing steakhouse that Elvis and Marilyn Monroe used to eat at, check out a museum of classic neon signs from casinos, and ride in a party bus while you visit other areas on the Strip. Even take a trip to the Grand Canyon. You will even be sent a copy of my Las Vegas tour guide, currently available exclusively on Amazon. While at Disneyland, you will spend 2 days enjoying Disneyland in California Adventure theme parks while you take the self-guided tour through both parks. Then, 2 extra days, you will travel to Hollywood, visit the Walk of Fame and the Griffith Observatory, get some awesome views of the Hollywood sign, and even eat dinner while watching Knights of the Round Table joust. Then, spend the day visiting Beverly Hills and a famous Hollywood cemetery. Everything has been planned and nothing has been left out of your enjoyment. You can contact us at DaveTheTourGuide.com. That's DaveTheTourGuide.com. Or simply call us at 503-933-4759. That's 503-933-4759. We look forward to hearing from you. Okay, so let's get to the questions. And question number one is, what can I do to get my wife not to pack so much? I try the same thing. When my wife and I took a cruise last year, she literally packed 4 bags worth of stuff. Not 4 large bags, but there was 1 large bag. There was a carry-on, which is a little bit smaller, and then there was 2 smaller bags. And it was tedious, quite frankly, because I was the guy who had to carry it all, plus my own luggage, which was a carry-on and, of course, a regular suitcase. And she kept saying, well, I don't know what I'm going to use my clothes for. I don't know. What am I going to need? What am I going to need? And I'm like, I know what you need. Something nice, 1 or 2 nice outfits to have for dinner, something for the pool, and the rest of that is something comfortable, and comfortable shoes, because there's always a lot of walking, especially when you have an excursion. So I said, why do you bring all that? And she brought all of it, and she used maybe half of it. So if you can figure out a way to tell your wife exactly what she needs to pack and not pack anything else, I would really appreciate it. Because quite frankly, I would like to know myself. Okay, next question. Do you have any destination recommendations based on what I am looking for? And then he gives a whole list of stuff, things like sightseeing and hiking and relaxation. Honestly, it really depends on a few variables. Do you like hot weather or cold weather? We're going into the summer, so it's going to warm up everywhere in the Northern Hemisphere. So even going into Canada, it's going to get a little warmer. Do you have a passport or not? Yes or no? If yes, then Canada is a great place. Heck, the Pacific Northwest is a great place. I would probably shy you away from the hotter southern states starting in June, July, August. I don't even go to Vegas because it's just too hot. It's just too hot. I plan, for example, when I travel this year, to stay certainly north of the Mason-Dixon line, but probably a bit norther than that. I won't go to Chicago in the wintertime, or Denver for that matter. I want to go to the Smithsonian, as I have yet to actually go there. And I'm hoping this is the year that I actually do it. My daughter and I are talking about doing the Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee kind of tour. Do Graceland and Dollywood. And always a lot of walking. So if you have any destination recommendations, those are the ones I'd probably recommend. If you wish to leave the country, I would go down into Mexico, where the dollar is strong. And you can actually save yourself a few bucks simply by just going down to a country where the dollar's strong. There's a lot to see in Mexico. I went to Mexico earlier this year for the first time. I had a great time. Everybody was so nice. Everybody was so friendly. And all that worrying that Americans have about, you know, everything, they don't have it down there. It just feels more relaxed. Just feels more comfortable. So other than, you know, the flight down there, which if you can swing it, if you can, you know, talk to me, give me a call at the timeforyourvacation.com and I'll see what I can do as far as your flight's concerned. But you can actually stay pretty cheaply down there if you try hard enough. All right. So next question. This next question is about itinerary planning. Are there any recommended, reading the wrong line. I need assistance in creating a daily itinerary that has certain must-see sites and hidden gems. Here's the deal with itinerary planning. I ran into this when my wife planned our entire vacation to Florida, as she ended up planning way too much. We had way too much on our agenda, and I was exhausted, and she was exhausted, and it helped lead us to missing our plane flight home. And that's a whole long story I'm not going to bore you with, but I'm a firm believer in planning, certainly, but staying a little loosey-goosey with some of the plans, not etching too much in stone. You know, for example, this Las Vegas trip that we're planning, I've got one day that I want to go check out a certain casino, check out a certain restaurant. And if we miss it, well, we can do it the next day. We do have tickets for certain shows that are paid for, so those are etched in stone. But everything, and I mean everything, can be adjusted other than the shows that we're having in one of our dinners that we have reservations for. So I don't really recommend people spend too much time doing their itinerary because too much gets put in. It's like, okay, we'll sleep. Here's 8 hours we can sleep. Well, when you get back to your hotel room, do you really just go straight to bed? Well, no, of course not. You turn on the TV, you unwind a little bit, at least I do, and then you eventually fall asleep. And I have to have 8 hours. I don't know about you. I've got to an age where if I don't have 14, I'm grumpy. seriously, though, you really need to sort of keep it a little loosey-goosey. That's sort of my area of advice on that one. What documentation do I need to travel out of the country? Okay, that's going to depend on what country you're going to. Starting the first of this year, 2024, the European Union requires a visa to enter it. Okay, so not only do you have to have a passport, you have to have a visa. So you must apply for that. I'm not sure off the top of my head about Great Britain or the United Kingdom, but Ireland's part of the European Union. So you're going to need a visa just to visit Ireland. Now, the cool thing about the European Union is that once you get into, say, France, you don't have to show your paperwork again just to travel to Italy or Greece or the other countries in the European Union. You've already been stamped. You're good to go. That's kind of the cool thing about it. Mexico doesn't require a visa if you're just kind of, if you're just going to walk in and sightsee and vacation for a couple weeks. Anything longer than, say, 2 weeks, I would really really recommend you get a visa. Visa's good for about 6 months, and once you get that all taken care of, you can come and go as much as you like. And you're going to want to check each and every single country you're going into, because unlike the Americas, you know, Canada down to Argentina, there's no American Union, so to speak. The Europe has their European Union, and it's made it easier for traveling all through Europe. But each country in the Americas is totally different. But I'm going to digress on that one. Next question. Do you charge a fee for your services? Yes, I do. I charge a booking fee. I don't charge a search fee. Some travel advisors will charge you just to look up prices, which I think is, I don't know, if they can do it, then hey, more power to them. I don't particularly care for it. So, yeah, I don't do that. What are my fees? I charge $25 a person per booking. If there's more than five people, It goes down to $20 per person per booking. And that's what I charge. And it's that simple. Next question. Do you recommend travel insurance or not? Can you recommend some plans? My family and I are talking about traveling from California to Florida and so on and so forth. Okay, so here's the deal with travel insurance. Travel insurance covers things like lost baggage, if you're sick, if you have to cancel your plans, etc., etc., etc. For myself, I don't buy travel insurance unless I am leaving the country for more than 4 days. All right, because one of the things about travel insurance is it will also cover certain amount of medical if you get hit by a car or something. It'll also cover bringing you back to America if you are hospitalized. If you're put in the hospital, they're like, we're going to need to keep you for a few days. They will pay to bring you back into America. And since certain plans are canceled, you'll get a certain amount of refund on plane tickets and hotel and so forth. There's paperwork involved. It doesn't happen overnight, but at least you're protected in some ways. That's what I like about travel insurance. When we went to Florida, we didn't get the travel insurance because, well, we're in Florida. If something happened to me, you know, I had insurance, so I was fine. If they lose your bag, which happens, it happens. It's less and less today than it was 30, 40 years ago. But you get, depending on the plan, you could get up to $500 back per bag, up to $1,000 per person. So that's my recommendation. Travel insurance when you leave the country. If you are not leaving the country and you're gone for less than a week, if you're staying in America, then I don't bother. I don't bother at all. And there's actually some very affordable plans out there, too, if you're leaving the country. They can start at around $170 per person if you're gone for like 2 weeks, which is not a bad price considering, hey, you are covered. So go ahead and give it some more thought. If you have any more questions, you can contact me at timeforyourvacation.com. All right, next question. The next question is, what are the luggage allowances for the airlines and potential baggage? Easy for me to say, potential baggage fees. Okay, that's going to change from airline to airline. Some airlines allow a personal item, which is 18 by 14 by 8, barely enough to fit stuff in, but I fit literally a week's worth of clothes in there. some airlines will allow a personal item and a carry-on. The carry-on will vary in size depending on the airline, and then you got to check in anything bigger. With that said, it all depends on the airline. I can't really give you a total answer as far as what's what. Each airline's a little bit different, and we'll need to consult the information on each airline to give you an appropriate answer. The next question has to do with tipping etiquette. What's the tipping etiquette in most countries? I understand it varies from country to country. Yeah, it does. In the Americas, so America and Canada, it's pretty much exactly what you experience at home in America. In Mexico, yeah, you're going to leave a gratuity as well. Even on cruise ships, when I was cruising, you're actually prepaying your tips, but the cruise line gets to keep a piece of that. So I always threw a $20 bill on the table so that the wait staff could have $20 cash that the IRS would have no idea happened. Whenever I was a bartender, I always wanted to be tipped in cash. I never wanted to be tipped in anything else. So I always include that. With that said, some countries, they don't tip at all. It's actually considered rude. In Australia, I have a friend, as we speak, is in Australia. And he told me flat out, he's like, they don't tip at all down here. They don't tip at all. Holy cow, really? No tipping? That sounds really strange, but that's the way their culture is. No tipping. So it's going to vary from country to country. And once you're booked for a specific country, you can actually find out which country you should and shouldn't tip in. I know in some Asian countries, in Asia, of course, tipping is considered rude. Believe it or not, tipping is considered rude. So, voila. That's your tipping etiquette. So it just changes from country to country. Next question. Are there any cultural exchange programs or volunteer opportunities available during my trip? You know, what they're referring to is, you know, trying to make a difference in the world. I'm going to go on vacation to build a hospital. I shouldn't make fun of people like that, but a lot of people do stuff like that. They just go off, build an orphanage, build a hospital, build a school. And certainly there are places like that. There's also places where you can go and house sit for someone. Basically, a rich person lives in, say, Puerto Rico. They have a house there. They need a house sitter. So what they do is they book the house sitter. And honestly, you're mostly there to water plants and maybe take care of a dog or a cat. And so you go there and you live in their home. There's, you know, a certain set of rules. You got to pay for the service that connects you to these people, and they pay for the service as well. But once you do this for a couple of years and you gain the trust of a few people, you can actually leave the online service that sets you up, and you can say, hey, tell you what, you know, pay me X amount of dollars and, I'll come back every August or whatever. And I will stay here and I will watch your house. And they know you now and they trust you and so forth. And so it's a really nice service. And hey, a free place to stay in Puerto Rico. All you got to do is pay for your food and your way to get there. I mean, there's something to be said about that. And there's something to be said about that if you work from home. If you're one of those people who does computer science, coding, web design, and so forth. As long as you got a Wi-Fi signal, you can make money. That's actually a lot of fun. I've met a few people who do stuff like that. It's they enjoy themselves, and it's a lot of fun. All right, next question. The next question is kind of winded, but it's about vaccinations. Are there vaccinations or medications I recommend to travel to certain countries and certain destinations? Yeah, I mean, if you're the average American, you're probably vaccinated against COVID and most everything. You probably got most of your vaccinations done in school. So you're probably fine. Honestly, I would consult your primary care physician regarding vaccinations. I have a friend who lives in Africa. She does our African tours. And once a year, she gets malaria from a mosquito. And so there are ways to prevent that. There are ways you can prevent catching malaria. Her country, she lives in Nigeria, and I'm flashing back to something I read that you need to have certain vaccinations just to enter the country, and one of them was against yellow fever. So you have to get those vaccinations from your physician and have documentation that you had it before they'll even let you get off the plane. So it's going to vary from country to country. Canada, you're fine. Mexico, you're fine. When you get down below the equator into, say, Argentina, things are going to start changing because the mosquitoes are the size of birds down there, and they do carry diseases, so you've got to be careful. And again, it depends on which nation you're going to. If you're traveling to, like I said, Canada or Mexico, you're going to be just fine. If you go into Europe, you're probably not going to have to worry too much about it. If you go to any other country other than that, I would start asking your personal physician in regards to what vaccinations you need to take so you don't bring home yellow fever or malaria or whatever. That would just be the worst if you're just, you catch malaria on your 3-week vacation to Africa, and next thing you know, you're in the hospital. It's treatable, but it's something you definitely don't want to do. All right, what's next? Let's take a look. All right, so the next question has to do with private tours versus excursions booked through the cruise line when you take a cruise. All right, here's the deal. If you're going to book an excursion, book it through the cruise line. Why do I say that? Well, as I sit here and record this, a couple weeks ago, some people made the news because they missed the boat. Because they booked an excursion not through the cruise line. They booked it third party with a company that's not affiliated with the cruise line. So they didn't need to, according to the excursion company, they didn't need to be back by a certain time. They just, okay, here it is, and we'll be back by this time. Well, they got back late, and the people missed their boat, and they freaked out. Now, I happen to take the side of the cruise. Why would the cruise be waiting for you? Most people don't know. I'll tell you what's what. The cruise line pays money to be at that port. If they leave late, they have to pay more money. And it's not $2 or $3. It's not even $200 or $300. It goes into the tens of thousands of dollars. That's when you buy a cruise, you are paying a certain fee as a port fee. It's spread amongst all the passengers of the actual cruise itself. If you don't show up, they're just going to assume you're not coming back and whatever. It's not their responsibility. It's your responsibility to be back at a certain time. If you book through the cruise line, the excursion company knows what time you have to be back. And traditionally, they have a shuttle that takes you from the port to where you need to go for the excursion, and then, of course, a shuttle back. So that's what you want to do. You want to simply book through the cruise line. All right? You got that? If there's something going on that is not booked through the cruise line that you really want to do, you are doing it at your own risk. Okay, we'll do a couple more and then we'll wrap it up. Let's take a look. All right, the next question has to do with what to do on long flights. Okay, Dave, the tour guide, when I take a long flight, I bring a book, I bring my phone, and I get bored out of my mind. What do you do to sort of take your mind off the long, long flight across the country? Okay, so I flew from Portland to Denver, Denver to Florida. It was one stop. It was like 3 hours from Portland to Denver, and then it's 4 hours from Denver to Miami. And I'll be honest with you, coming home for whatever reason just felt like it took forever. But getting there, I have a tablet and I signed up with streaming services and I just download movies and TV shows. And I just watch that. And once I do that, I listen to it and I watch it and I play games on my phone. And that's all I do. That's all I do. The chairs I find very uncomfortable. I have a lower back problem. And I find the chairs very uncomfortable. So I look for an excuse halfway through the flight to get up and use the bathroom. Even if I don't have to use the bathroom, I get up to use the bathroom. Gives me a chance to sort of walk around a little bit and stretch my legs. So with that said, I don't read as much as I should. I'll listen to audiobooks, but I don't read as much as I should. I'll be the first to admit that. I do listen to podcasts. I listen to travel podcasts. I listen to business podcasts. I listen to comedy podcasts. But mostly, I'll just watch something on my tablet. And, you know, I got an external battery pack. I just hook into it for the long flights. And, you know, it works just fine for me. It works just great. Once you get off that plane, though, oh, man, my body, my 50-year-old knees are killing me. Oh, I remember when I was younger, it was easier, but I don't know if it's because the seats were more comfortable or if just because my body wasn't so old. Probably a little bit of both. Okay, last question. And our last question has to do with cultural appropriation. The question is, can I buy local clothing and wear it publicly without being accused of cultural appropriation? Easy for me to say, isn't it? So the answer is yes. Cultural appropriation is a Western concept. My friend in Africa has told me that they absolutely love seeing people from other continents wearing local clothing, eating local food, and even learning the local language. It shows that you respect their culture enough to do this. Now, coming home, wearing African garb on a white person is not going to work out very well. You're probably going to have people looking at you kind of strange, and maybe some people yelling at you. Some Karen's going to be all like, "Hey, you can't do that in public. You can't be wearing that. It's always some 40-year-old white woman who goes off on something like that, you notice? But be that as it may, it's perfectly acceptable in every other country to purchase an article of clothing and wear it in that country. As a souvenir, it shows that you care enough about the culture and the people there that you actually want to be a part of it, that you are showing respect to that culture. It's not like you go to, not like you're going to Nigeria and saying, I'm only going to eat at KFC. They have KFC in Nigeria, believe it or not. Although other than the fried chicken, everything else is totally different. But be that as it may, in Asia, like Japan, for example, they eat up American pop culture. So there's a lot of fast food places there. But anyway, I digress. So yeah, go ahead and buy something. But if you're going to wear it out in public here in America, you might get some problems. There might be some people who are like looking at you like kind of weird about it. Okay, so that's our show for this time. That's pretty much our show for the month of May. We're not going to be doing any more for the month of May, and I'm looking to have the next one out around the first, April. Yeah, I know what month it is. This is our show for the month of April. We're going to have another show. We'll be around the 1st of May, and we're looking to do some interviews in the future and bring some travel experts here, people who talk about their travel and what works best for them and what doesn't work for them. So go ahead and follow us, and you'll be getting that around the 1st of May. So thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us for the Global Traveler Podcast. Did you know there is a free digital Global Traveler magazine you can subscribe to? Just go to globaltravelermag.com. That's globaltravelermag.com. And you can read our latest issue 100% free of charge. While you are there, drop us a line and we will remind you once a new issue is dropped and send you a link. It's so simple. Oh, did I mention it's free? That's globaltravelermag.com. globaltravelermag.com.